If I said your ticket to the Masters is you have to eat an egg salad sandwich while you're there, you would do it.
If you say eat this egg salad full sandwich?
Full sandwich. You have to eat it while you're on the grounds at Augusta.
No, nope, not doing it.
Unbelievable.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
A whole sandwich?
Yeah.
A whole thing?
You'll probably never win tickets to the Masters in your life.
You know what else I'll never do is eat a full egg salad sandwich.
Jeremy White.
Put the tickets on the table so when we make the offer next year. Do it. I'll prove it. Anybody that wins the lottery,
no one's
come into
that.
The studio and make the offer. I'll prove it. I won't do it.
Joe DiBiase.
What if I made it for you and one other person?
Does the other person eat the sandwich?
No, only you have to eat the sandwich.
No.
Have some heart.
I would love to. I'd love to do something that is easy for normal people and get to play Augusta. I could not physically do it.
Be a man.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. I'm trying to figure where I was. I almost took a picture of a sign that said egg salad sandwich, and I didn't. Maybe it was...
like someone was advertising, come try the egg salad?
Yeah. An A-frame outside of a restaurant, or... it kind of snuck up on me, because it wouldn't just be, hey, look, there's an egg salad sandwich sign, but more of a, oh, wow, this thing is coming for me. Yeah. I almost took a picture of it and sent it to you or tweeted it, but I let it go.
What kind of restaurant is advertising the egg salad?
A brunch place? I don't know. You tell me. You people that eat them, you tell me where they fit.
I don't eat them. I've had... it's not like I like egg salad. I think I've had one egg salad sandwich maybe in 5 years. Like, it's not something I am regular. I would never order it. Let's say that. Whoever this place might be or whoever might be offering it. I can't imagine it'd be a fast food place that's offering
no,
egg salad.
No, definitely not.
And I also can't imagine it's like a really nice, fancy restaurant, right, that's offering egg salad. So what's in between that? Diner? Probably a diner.
It might have been a diner.
A diner, come try the egg salad.
Yeah, that might be right.
Yeah, that's an odd thing to be showing to get people to come in, though. You know, there's you who won't touch it no matter what.
Correct.
There's me who, like, I don't really like it. I'll eat it if it's offered and there's nothing else really and I'll be fine. But who is actively looking for, like, who's got the best egg salad sandwich in town?
Presumably somebody.
Maybe.
I don't know... this is one of those conversations. Is it not something you would eat on an 82-degree day? Is it less likely? You're not going to have beef stew on a patio on a day like today,
yeah,
right?
Like tomorrow I'll be wrapping, we're going to make either a sub or go get one to bring to the beach, and I cannot imagine
meatball parm?
No, right. Now, meatball bomber is not in the cards. An egg, like a sausage parm sub, an egg salad. Like these are sandwiches I would not bring to the beach.
Yeah, on an 80-degree day.
Yeah, no chance.
Fair.
Although it would be funny if I just showed up tomorrow with a giant meatball sub.
Yeah, with a crock of soup. You're on the beach.
What do you got? That's some French onion.
This guy's got a crock of French onion soup on the beach.
What's more American than that?
Yeah. Well, good morning. Happy July 3rd. Tomorrow's July 4th. We're off tomorrow. It is one of those days where I have to kind of ask the guys in the room, like, hey, are we working on the 4th? No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're off. And I'm off next week, so it's getaway day for me. I mean,
this is a mail it in Thursday.
You want to talk about anything on earth? You want to talk about the striping on the Sabre socks? We'll do that. I mean, whatever. Getaway day for me.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Adams spoke yesterday. We'll have some stuff to talk about with him. We have a Leafs guest at 9 for you know, where they go post-Marner. So, yep. You know, hanging out. One thing I think about on July 3rd, because we're not on July 4th, and Joe, I want to say 20 years ago, because it would have been when I was on at night with Brad.
Mm-hmm.
On July 3rd, we did a show, an evening show, a full show that we called, I don't know if it was a Friday or whatever, but it was July 3rd.
Yep.
It was the Fireworks Fiasco Show.
Okay.
Where we just, for... I don't know if it was 3 or 4 hours, whatever we were on back then. We just would ask people to call and tell us about their adventures with fireworks.
Wow.
And
okay.
We got some calls.
Yeah.
We got some calls where, yeah, I was, you know, letting them off for a family event, and there was a wedding nearby, and we shot a couple of accidentally into the wedding party.
Yeah. Shot them into the
accidentally,
wedding.
Accidentally, like something tipped over and, yeah, into a wedding party. You know, it's about safety. So
just say, how many of the fireworks stories result in
injury?
injury, loss of fingers.
None were loss of life. There might have been some mild injuries.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the people that were calling that day were laughing at, you know, hey, we can laugh about it now. But at the time,
it was
a fiasco. So,
yeah.
The fireworks fiasco story. That's what I think of every July 4th now, is because it was just one after another. Hey, here's what
I
did.
They're just crazy stories.
Yeah.
How many of those are just the fireworks tipped over and then...
A lot of it.
And then now what?
There was a fire in California. There was a fire at a fireworks factory the other day that led to a massive...
Okay.
I heard... Put it this way. It's also fireworks in your neighborhood time of year.
Yes.
I heard one boom yesterday that sounded like it was too loud to be a firework and had to be an actual explosion of something.
Uh-huh.
For the next 10 minutes, I was searching Twitter. What exploded?
And well, it was a firework?
It must have been.
It was a one single firework?
One boom.
All right, maybe someone just wanted the little test run.
But it wasn't like a pop. I mean, this thing was a rumble.
So like one of the big
yes,
guys.
Yes. And laying in bed at night, okay, it's the time of year where you're going to hear fireworks. You'll just hear them going off wherever you are.
I mean, for a week, I feel like I've heard maybe more than that.
Yeah, it's the next month.
The whole month you're going to just
It's pretty much
while.
July. July is where this all will rip.
Yeah, that's probably right. And of course, tonight I feel like is the first real day though where there's a lot of it. Like home at home people on their street that are doing it. Like tonight I expect to hear a lot and like have the dog ready to be hearing that and not freak out.
Give him
he's usually fine.
Give the dogs, if you haven't, give the dogs some like CBD stress chews.
Uh-huh.
We do that.
Okay.
They make them. Calm them down.
What about like those big headphones they put on babies at sporting events?
I don't know. There's also the thunder jackets, if you want to help them in thunderstorms. Those can work too.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not great for dogs. Rough time of year for dogs. Some dogs. Some more than others. I had a dog that used to go hide in anything he could find. Big dog. I mean, 80-pound collie mix who used to go hide in toy chests.
Yeah.
He'd find shelter when he heard fireworks.
Mm.
And my current dog, I don't think he cares.
Doesn't?
No.
Doesn't even
Goose,
notice.
The black lab, he does not care.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to play all the time and make noise all the time, so maybe he'll who knows? He would not care.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fireworks season. Welcome. Bisons and Independence Eve and all that stuff. I mean, it's not just amateur fireworks. Today's a great day to be, if you're ever on the lake shore or on a boat.
Yeah.
It's a great day for that because you see fireworks all up and down the lake. There's a lot of visibility, of course.
Yep.
So
that's why we go down to like the spot we're on, Angola, like on the beach, all the way down the beach and then wrapping around the corner, you can see all the fireworks that everybody's doing for like 5 miles.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So like water or like I used to in like high school or even before that go down to Chestnut Ridge in Orchard Park where you could see down to the city and even beyond that. And that almost feels more like, you ever see those drone videos where like they're flying through on July 4th and like all the fireworks in the distance?
Yeah.
That's kind of what that looks like. It's like you feel like you're the drone looking out over like the entire landscape. It's pretty cool.
Robin Lackawanna's with us bright and early. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, so you're talking about fireworks stories, and you said you had no loss of life ones. I have one.
Oh, geez.
Back in the probably late 70s, early 80s, the city of Lackawanna used to do a fireworks display at the Ron Jaworski Stadium, which they're knocking down, actually, right now. Anyways, they went a little cheap and hired this guy with a cube van, and he was like directly in front of the stands, and one of them went awry, went into the cube van, which had all the other fireworks in it, and the guy, for some reason, dove into the cube van to try and get it out, and he never made it out in front of all of us little kids. They never had a fireworks display after that.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Wow.
Okay. I appreciate the phone call. I feel like half the reason we were saying, you know, that on that show we do with Brad was we didn't share stories like that because that's not exactly of the, hey, we all can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
But it's no laughing matter. Take it seriously.
Yeah.
That's what Rob's here to remind us of.
Yeah.
You know what? For fireworks stuff, I can remember as a kid. And what's the look like the belt? The bell chart?
The belt, like, what do you mean? How big they are?
No,
or?
For how interested you are by age. When you're little, you're terrified, and then you get interested,
yeah.
And then you fall out of interest, and then you go back to being interested.
Although, it depends. I feel like...
Bell curve is what I'm looking for.
Aren't there a lot of little kids that, like, love them?
Maybe. Sparklers when you're a kid.
Sure. I had a bad experience with a sparkler.
So did my daughter. She burned her finger on a sparkler and still talks about it.
I did that, but it wasn't my fault.
Right,
it wasn't
her fault.
Was it the same... This might be the same exact story. Another parent had accidentally, like, they were relighting them, and she had relit the wrong end, the end that had been grabbed. So then I grabbed the side that had just been lit.
Yeah.
That's my sparkler story.
Well, sparklers are, we had sparklers at our wedding. It's sparkler, you know, whatever. Be safe out there is the moral of the story.
What are the other smaller ones? The firecrackers?
I think
you just throw at the ground.
I think
they pop.
Are there the snakes?
I don't know about the snakes.
They still make those, like the black snake ones? No? Nobody?
No, I don't know.
That's one. It's not even really a firework so much as it's just a, yeah, black snakes. You light it and put it on the ground, and it kind of burns off this ash snake out of the ground, and it looks like a small black snake is crawling out of the ground. It's
interesting.
Not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it still exists, but that's the one I think of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, now I'm take them or leave them. Most of the time, leave them. If the neighbors have some and they're going to be a good show, great. You put on a professional show. I'm not going to mess around with stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
That's pretty much where I've landed after however many years.
I can't say I think I've ever lit a firework in my life.
Yeah?
And I don't have like any need to or interest. I'll sit back and I'll enjoy the show.
Yep.
And I'm good.
The oohs and the ahs. Speaking of fireworks.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Bo Byram sweepstakes.
Yeah. Well done.
Kevin Adams spoke yesterday.
Yeah. So this is going to drag out, isn't it?
Well, there's a problem. There's a problem. It's a pretty big problem.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying.
Well, is the problem a thing that they don't see as a problem that they actually prefer, which is they now get to hold on to all that cap space because they need to save it in case somebody offer sheets Bo Byram, so that when they don't spend it, and in December Kevin Adams gets a question about, I mean, why do you have $8 million in cap space when the team is this bad? And then the answer is, well, at the time we had to
saving
save
it
because
Bo.
Of Bo Byram.
Yeah, they always have an answer for why they're saving money. It was going to be to save money to extend Paterka and
right.
Quinn, and there's a third one in there. No,
McLeod,
which they did. No, the problem is this. I was trying to write it in a paragraph. I was trying to fit it into a tweet, and I've yet to be able to get it down to the exact words that I need to for this. So it's, if you'll allow me, well, 3.5 hours of like stream of consciousness. But I have this thought where Adams, who's been on the job now for 6 off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And most of his job has been trading away good players.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
We watch every year good players do something somewhere else because they don't want to be here, contract this, contract that. And Adams, I don't want to say he thinks he's a wheeler dealer, but he has been involved with some pretty high-profile trades. And getting rid of Jack Eichel for 4 pieces in a blockbuster and trading away Sam Reinhart in a deal that brings you a first and a goalie. And he would have been around. He doesn't make the O'Reilly trade, right? That's Botrel.
That's Botrel.
Okay, he doesn't make that trade. But he would have, whatever, he's near the organization. He's with the academy. He's around the Pegulas. So mm-hmm. He sees that deal. He's seen how many deals where one goes out and two come in. Every one of these teams that tried to trade for the player that they got from the Sabres. Eichel, Reinhardt, O'Reilly, who else is Paterka.
Paterka.
These teams gave up 2, 3, 4 pieces for one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought it'll make us better to give up 2, 3, 4 pieces and get this one. And right. yet, when the time comes where he's looking to add, he is not willing to do that. They don't have a trade where they give up Benson, Kulik, a first, and Greenway for this one player. They don't have it. Right. And when he says, I'm not going to trade Bo for futures, that's the kind of deal that this almost always is. A good team wants your player. A good team wants this player. A team like, maybe it is Calgary who made the playoffs last year. Well, they could miss, whatever. Maybe it's St. Louis. Maybe it's the Kings. Whoever mm-hmm. it is. Good teams see a player like this and say, oh, we might like him. I mean, he's not Eichel. He's not Reinhardt. He's not close mm-hmm. to that. And here's Adams talking like, well, I mean, I'm not going to just give him up for futures. And I'm going to match any offer sheet because I don't want futures. That comment right. alone, listen, I know that GMs have to talk tough, but there are absolutely a series of offer sheets he should accept Bo Byram getting and let him walk. There's a financial structure to it where if he's over 7.2 or whatever, a first, a second, and a third, he should take it. And if it's mm-hmm. two firsts, a second, you're trying to tell me if Byram got the kind of offer where the Sabres could get 2 firsts, a second, and a third, they should not take it because they don't want futures? At that point, it becomes, sorry you're in your sixth offseason, but you've made enough of a mess mm-hmm. where this is the compensation for Byram, you should take that deal. There's also an offer sheet where somebody offers 2 years, $20 million, or mm-hmm. 2 years, $15 million, and the owner might not want to pay $15 in 2 years.
Right.
It's just, it's not believable that they'll match any offer sheet. Maybe they'll match any realistic offer sheet, and even that might be a mistake.
And maybe the term would be very important here, because would they match an offer sheet? Would they match any offer sheet for 2 or 3 years, but not for 7? Because if they are hesitant to give him a long-term deal, or what about Byram on this front? Byram is not maybe as public, his agent isn't, or like the reporting isn't as public about what his motivation is, like other than his role, right? It's not about, I need out right now, I'm not playing for this team again, I'm not signing, whatever. Like, there's a belief maybe that he would play on a short-term deal, but is he going to be kicking and screaming if he says, I'm not playing for you for 7 years? Like, that, I would be here for a year. I'll play for you for a year, but I'm not doing this. I'm not doing 7 years. And if you, I mean, this would be why maybe he wouldn't sign an offer sheet in the first place, but would he be afraid of the Sabres doing that now? Of them saying, we're going to match whatever offer sheet there is out there. Almost as a dare to Byram. Like, right. this is kind of how what I wanted them to do with Paterka in a way, by the way, which is like, we're going to match anything. Like, go ahead, sign whatever you want, because then we get you. Right. And maybe that's why Byram wouldn't sign an offer sheet with a team right now, because he doesn't want it.
But everybody knows that it has to be a bluff to some degree. They would not match because, any right. sheet.
And that's where, if I were Byram, maybe I would test them. Like, all right, I'm going to sign for, this team wants to give me, Calgary wants to give me 7 years and
52 million.
Sure. 7 years, 52 million.
That's a first, a second, and a third.
And they front loaded it like crazy.
Yeah, you're not going to match that.
He might sign it thinking like you're bluffing.
Yeah.
You're going to take the draft compensation, and you might hate that you're going to take the draft compensation, but you're going to do it. And look, I do think it's defendable that they don't want any futures back for Bo Byram. Adam specifically might not think he's, I don't know what he thinks about his job security. If a team is going to give him 2 first-round picks and an offer sheet, what are the odds that he thinks he's going to be here for that second first-round pick?
Right.
Let alone be here for when those players finally get here to play for you.
I get that, but I'm not sitting here saying I prefer futures at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kevin Adams certainly should not, but we should probably have an adult conversation about the Sabres where the likelihood is the best deal might involve futures. And of course, they can get what they did before. Tim Murray got a boatload of picks and then immediately traded them, many think, too soon immediate players. The possibility always exists to trade your pieces, your future pieces, for players. The 9th overall pick probably could have been moved for a player. They didn't want to do it. Okay, that's fine. They've had how many first-round picks? They finally parted ways with Savoy, finally.
Mm-hmm.
After his, what, D3 development season?
No, his was quicker than that.
Okay, D2? They drafted him. He's in.
He might have even been after 1. He played for... 2 years. 2 years. So they drafted him in 2022, and they traded him in the summer of 24.
Right, so two full years in juniors.
Yeah.
Post-draft.
Yep.
And by the way, if you're still in juniors 2 years post-draft, like I think that might be a little bit of an indicator. You're not an elite player. You can still be very good, but you might not be elite.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been in the AHL if he was allowed to.
True.
Remember, he couldn't play there.
Zach Benson made this team.
That's also true.
Savoy did not.
Right.
I mean, we can talk about that. Whatever. I'm like I said, a stream of consciousness. But the point is, the larger point is, you don't want to take futures. It's your fault that you might have to.
Does he feel like they have to? Because if futures is the best deal, is the best deal futures, or is the best deal Bo Byram's on my roster and playing for me for the next for one more year?
And then what?
And then you try to trade him again
at the deadline.
Because at the deadline or in the offseason, you might think that you're going to get the same thing you get next summer.
You might. But we're right back where you always are, which is you might need to be the team that packages three players together to get one piece. And
right.
I guess they kind of just did that with Josh Norris for like Cousins and a second.
It was that. I was just looking. I've got every trade Adam's ever made in front of me, and the only one involving players where they sent out more pieces than they got back was the last trade they made, and it was Cousins, Dennis Gilbert, and a second for Josh Norris and Jacob Bernard-Docker. So wash out
one
the defenseman. It was basically Cousins and a second for Norris.
Yeah.
But that's viewed more as a hockey trade, right?
Yeah, like, that's definitely viewed as a hockey trade.
The second-round pick is maybe just to incentivize Ottawa to do it in the first place because the players are pretty close in terms of value.
You are in this spot. You are not some wheeler dealer that can pound your table and say, I don't want futures. These teams don't care. These teams are better than you, and if they want Bo Byram, they'll make an offer, and it might include futures. And if you're going to keep him because your plan to trade him or whatever fell apart, okay. He's talking about if they trade him, we're going to feel like our team got better. And yesterday it was, I can't tell you what it'll be. Will it be a defenseman? Will it be a forward? Will it be a forward and a D? Imagine Byram goes out for a forward and a defenseman. How are they better?
He got right to that when he talked about like things, like the hypotheticals of things they could get back. I don't think he ever, I'll listen to the quote back. I don't believe he ever said like, oh, it could be a defenseman. It could be a forward. He said it could be we get a forward and a defenseman.
Yeah.
Like we get multiple pieces. He never said anything, though, of the sort of maybe we package him with something and get like that is the thing you never hear.
Right. And that's to me, I entered this offseason hoping they would swing Byram and Paterka together. Byram and number 9 in a prospect.
Right.
Paterka and number 9. And the ship seems to have sailed on a lot of it.
Right.
And now you're stuck in what a teams want to offer you. Well, I can give you this player and a pick. I don't want picks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a call later. I mean, I don't know.
He could talk to you in August, maybe.
He could get traded later today. It's the kind of thing where you would have to ask yourself, is there an awesome offer on the deal for futures, and they won't take it because of futures? And why won't they take futures? Because the GM is in the 6th offseason.
Yeah, and also nobody does want to see them acquire futures.
I don't want to see them acquire futures.
Nobody wants to see them acquire
futures.
But
the offer sheet scenario is one that would make sense to accept futures in certain scenarios. But you're probably right when you say he says we'll match anything. That's probably for the agent rather than the teams out there. We'll match anything.
I think that's probably
you want to discourage the player from doing it. Because if the player does it, now all of the decision is on you, and you are hamstrung by the contract, a full year of not trading that player.
Right.
So you're probably right that any GM that says that is saying it to the agent.
Right. And by the way, this is where like I wonder if it could get dragged out. I mean, this is the only one example of it, but Jeff Skinner was traded on August 2nd to the Buffalo Sabres. Like, is that the type of timeline that we're looking at for Byram, where they're not trading him this, like, today or this week? Like, it could be a month of this.
And Jeff Skinner
or 2 months of this.
Jeff Skinner got traded for what?
Nothing.
Cliff Poo. A third?
Cliff Poo,
and a second?
I just looked it up. Cliff Poo, a second, a third, and a fourth? Yeah. Three draft picks and Cliff Poo.
Okay, there's your Byram trade. Get ready.
See, that
is... for a guy
is...
you've never heard of and three futures.
Like, if that's the type of offer that's on the table for them right now, I'd rather he's on the team.
That I would agree with.
Like, if they're getting futures that aren't even a first-round pick, then I'm not... No, you don't do that. You keep Byram and you play him with Dahlin for a year. Because, like, that is not something to be valued for a long-term deal. But for 1 year, like, that pair does work.
Yep.
As do a lot of Dahlin pairings. But I do think there's the one thing that Byram does give you a little bit more of that I don't think every single Dahlin partner does, is he's going to capitalize offensively on some of the chances that Dahlin creates. Some of the offensive zone time. I do think Byram has a pretty good shot.
So play him with Dahlin for the year. Inflate everything he does.
Absolutely.
And then trade him.
Yeah.
I mean, inflate it.
Inflate it and hope that it helps you, and pray that Dahlin doesn't get hurt, because the second he does, then it all goes kaput.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, happy Thursday, July 3rd. Happy July 4th. Happy holiday weekend. Long weekend. Another banner day. I mean, the weather has been just incredible. Beautiful. We walked out yesterday after I told you that Aaron Metkowski on BEN said it was going to be the nicest day of the year. Joe and I walk outside after the show, and he says, okay, you know what? Maybe it is the nicest day.
It might be.
It really might be the nicest day of the year. It's my father-in-law's birthday, too, so happy birthday to him. Okay, break time. We'll talk some Sabres. We'll get... you know, we'll get stuff going today. We've got a lot of fun planned. At least I think we do. We'll find out. It's a getaway day for a lot of you out there with a long weekend as well. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Jeff in Tampa, hang on. We'll get to your call right on the other side.